How do I cope with waiting for results?
It's all I can think about. Is the cancer going to come back?
I can't sleep. How do I stop worrying?
We know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the anxieties. We understand because we've been there too. If you or someone you care about has been diagnosed with cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community can help from day one. It's a free, safe online forum for people with cancer to connect anonymously. No question is too big or too small. With over 80,000 members, we get it. We've been there. Whatever you need to ask, we're here. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello.
How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Doing quite well. Just happy. It's another day of Below Deck Med, another shit show on this boat. This is a calamitous season. Just enjoying that. Before we dive into that, not much to announce today. We're just, you know, continuing to tweak our Patreon. Like we said before, we're in the process of streamlining it. And one thing that we just did right before this is we started up our first ever Patreon group chat on Patreon. So if you want to be part of that chat and future chats to happen with our Patreon community, head on over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. It's already popping off. It's really exciting and fun.
Yeah, there's going to be a live chat thread in there for the shows that are airing. So whenever a show is on and you want to go chat about it with other listeners while it's airing, feel free to go in there and talk shit together. Because it's more fun to talk shit together, guys. And that's a good central place to do it. So there's that. We also did Chip Crazy this week. We did episode one, which was two parts because we talked our asses off about that show. And then part two is going to be coming out later this week. Also, if you're interested in the secret lives of Mormon wives coming up on Hulu, we did a trailer trash that's on Patreon. So go listen to all of that good Patreon stuff. And today is Below Deck Mediterranean.
Below Deck Mediterranean. So previously on the show, there was a leak in the forward cabin, and then there was a Medicaid, and then they patched the leak, but then the leak came back, and now we're left for a whole week wondering, are they going to find the second leak? And so we open up the new episode. Episode two opens up with, it's fixed. I was like, whoa, okay. That was very quick. That was a very quick resolution to that second leak.
Yeah, we just got two separate leaks, and the engineers made the repair in the bosun's locker. The deckies have been taking care of the starboard. It's like a tsunami. It's like a mednami. It's like a mednami. Is everybody going to die? Are we all going to die? I don't know where the guests are. I can't find anybody. I think everyone's gone. It's okay. Everything's great.
Everything's fine. You know, the storm has caused so much issues. We had two separate leaks. The engineers made a repair in the bosun's locker while the deckies have been taking care of the starboard forward cabin. And now we're just stuck at the dock. We can't catch a break. Also, no one's worn a clean shirt in 3 weeks.
You know what? I think we should put Bree in charge of the rain, and that'll make sure it disappears.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So the guests are coming back to the boat because all the guests had gone off to try to go to a winery in the middle of this Medicaid Daniel. And they quickly realized that was a terrible idea because all the streets of Athens were flooded with like inches of water. So they finally come back and they're just like getting up onto the boat and Nathan is holding up umbrellas for them and we're coming on board and everything. So we're sort of having a big reset at the top of the episode.
And this is where Aisha's just had it with everybody. Like she's had it with her whole crew. And she passes by Ellie and she's like, make sure to put the wine back in the fridge now. And it's like, okay. Which is going to grow into a giant flower of resentment by the end of the episode. So it's important to point that out. And then Sandy asks the deckies to clean the forward cabin. And Ian's like, okay, we will do that. You guys do it because I need to take a nap.
Yeah, this is
like, a seriously
big nap episode kidding? For him. Big nap. He's considering that he naps a lot. Every episode's a big nap episode. This is a really big nap episode for him.
A big nap and big snap, big nap and big snacks episode for Ian, which is crazy because normally that's Sandy's advice for everything. Like, are you having any kind of problem? You know, have you lost everything in a financial crisis? Take a nap. You know, she's like, that's her prescription for everything. Nap and a snack and a hug, you know, but Ian's doing it so much that I think Sandy might learn that that's some bullshit. Okay, everything isn't solved with a nap and a hug.
Yeah. So, you know, people, there's basically the guests are back on board, and Aisha is doing this kind of like wine tasting at the bar in the living room, which to me seems like really fun. I would have been perfectly happy doing that the entire charter. So she's just pouring them wine and wine and wine.
You absolutely would not have been happy doing that the entire. Who are you? What would you come to work with a attitude well, thing? Who maybe, the fuck are you? You would die. If some waiter stood up there who didn't know a thing about wine with a crinkly ass paper and said, a grain comes from the ground. The ground, Aisha. It comes from the ground. It came from the ground. Did you know that things are grown in poo-poo? That's how vegetables grow. Basically, I'm not surprised plants aren't growing out of the toilet. Every time I'm in there, I have the best loads out of anybody doing that. Like, you'd have been like, fuck this. You better get me to a coliseum or some shit.
I guess the clarification is more like I would have been happy sitting at a bar with friends just drinking wine all afternoon too. Like maybe I don't think I would have needed Aisha reading from a paper, but
I would have killed her. Listen, I don't like improvised community theater on a boat. Community theater can be rough enough if it's planned out. I don't need somebody reading from a goddamn crinkle page. And I think I'm resentful of it on this season because we've gotten so much of it. Because remember when Stupid Joe did it too? He's like, I've written a song. And then he pulled out his crinkle. Oh, no. He did it on the tour where he's like, does anyone want me to read from the crinkle page on the tour? And they're like, not really. I mean, these poor guests are subjected to a lot of bad reading off crinkle pages.
Yeah, but they're also paying for like a discount yacht trip. So, you know, that's what you get. Crinkle page tour guides. So everyone's just sort of doing stuff around this boat. You know, Nathan and Gail are kind of, I don't know if they're hugging just yet, but Ian's looking for bread because he's on his break. And then Ellie and Bree are working to set up like a mermaid party for the evening. And Jono is working on the dinner. He's going to make some lobster and everything. And he's telling us, There's a lot of pressure being stuck at the dock. You know, it's like definitely affects people's moods. Like, I've got, you know, allergy restrictions, which I'll ignore. And I've also got, like, different preferences, which I'll ignore. And, like, the past few quarters, like, the food's been going, like, really great. And I mean, like, she's always ready to rise the occasion. And by rise the occasion, I mean fall on her face.
It takes so much energy to ignore so many preferences and allergies. It's a lot. I'm juggling a lot of different things to ignore, basically. So Aisha is looking over some wines, and Steve offers to help. And she's like, you can take this one. He's like, whoa, almost dropped it. God, that's a heavy bottle of wine. That is crazy. I'm not sure if this wig is throwing me off balance or what. Is that the wig guy? The guy that's played by Will Ferrell?
He seems
like he would be a Steve.
I can't remember.
But every guy on this boat seems like, every guy in this guest group seems like they could be a Steve, right? No offense, yeah. Steves.
I think Steve is the guy who looks sort of like Sidney Pollack. And then there's the other guy who looks like Richard Branson with like a yellow blonde wig on. And there may be a third guy. I think there's a third guy who's just sort of like generic looking.
And then there's one that looks like the mom Brady, Marcia Brady, but if she was played by Macaulay Culkin.
Yes. And then there's also the one who looks sort of like a Carson Kressley type. Like if Carson Kressley were in his, like, it was 23. And
I think that's the same one.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think is the Brady Bunch mom played by Macaulay Culkin.
That's basically the same thing as young Carson Kressley. Yeah.
Pretty much. Wacky wine stuff, and Aisha's like, oh my god, I hate being stuck at the dock with guests. You have to entertain them. It's ridiculous. They've already heard the finger up the bumhole thing. I mean, what am I supposed to do now?
Well, everyone, welcome to my winery. Are you guys wanting to taste some wine? And they're like, yeah, well, I guess so. And then meanwhile, we cut to Ian announcing yet again that he's going on break. And Aisha's, you know, now this is where Aisha's doing a lot of stuff. This is the stuff we were talking about before. Like, oh, so the ground is full of pebbles and the vines have become rough and the best and most concentrated grape for the, what is that, Pinot Noir? I don't understand.
And one of them's like, oh, God, when you gotta write down that much about a wine, you know it sucks.
And then, Joe is down.
Here's what happens. You find it, you put it in a plastic bag, you put the plastic bag in a box with a splurt on it. Boom, you got some Franzia. And
down in the laundry room, Joe is looking for a pillowcase.
Yeah.
And Bree is there to help him. I want you to do the Bree.
That's a great scene. That's like, that's a great scene, Jim.
I'm like, all of a sudden, the narrator. I'm like, elsewhere, Joe is looking for a pillowcase.
Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, some pillowcase flirting, I guess.
She's like, Joe, what do you need?
He's like, can I have a pillowcase?
She's like, this is yours. You can take it. I'm just trying my best to stay away from Joe. Now I just try and picture what Joe would look like as a really old man. It works, I think. Except now I'm horny for really old men. Oh, God.
What have I done to myself?
Unfortunately, I have a daddy issue. So it really, it's actually hotter than before.
Don't do that. Don't. And that's something people always say, like, oh, if you find yourself getting horny, just think about something that's not sexual at all. Like, I remember an old saying used to be like, oh my God, if you're horny, think about baseball. Oh God, baseball. Well, guess what? You don't tell a gay boy that. Guess what I got into? Baseball porn.
I mean,
it's out there. It's like sports. It's like, you know, and of course it's like gays, you know, in ill-fitting softball outfits, throwing giant softballs up and down. I mean, it's not really baseball. It's not legit baseball porn, but it's close enough that anytime somebody says baseball, I fall asleep, but with a boner.
Listen, I don't know if baseball is an apt choice to dehorn yourself, because I mean, like, if someone says, okay, if you're horny, think about baseball, I'm just gonna think about Jesse Williams and Take Me Out. I'm just going right to those videos.
yeah, because I don't think of baseball the same, you know. Everyone's like, oh, that's the most boring sport. I just think, oh my God, that's the one with the guys with giant butts with really tight pants and lockers.
That's
really all I know about it.
And they, then they're I was the ones in the baseball the
musical when I was a teenager. It was called Diamonds. I've told you about that. So I was in that. So I think of that sometimes. So I think of like dinner theater, which is not boner inducing, but then bubble butts with tight pants. It's just all very confusing.
That's a lot.
My point is, that's not what you do when you don't want to be horny. Don't say baseball. It doesn't work. And don't say old men, because then you're just going to start dreaming of old men. When you're horny, only think of horny things and just tell your wiener, stop it. You know, stop. Just tell it you're stop it right
you
now.
Stop
you
it.
Cave yourself.
So
go down.
Meanwhile, Aisha is still doing like Aisha's, you know, she's just sort of hamming it up, because these are the sort of guests that love hamming it up with like a wine taste. It means blood of the suit. It happened by chance. I think she's like rapping actually. She's like, it happened by chance in the vineyard. Complex aroma with beautiful notes of vanilla. I don't know who wrote this, but it's worth it to me. Taste this and see if you like it. Yeah. And Sandy walks in smiling like a doting mother whose 9-year-old is entertaining dinner party guests. And she's like, you know, Aisha has some skills you just don't find on a CV. You know, not every chief stew can get the guests to smile. Not every chief stew can rap their way through wine tasting notes, okay? And when, especially when it's pouring out and all their plans have been canceled, God, she's just so good.
Some guests are just made for that. You know, there's like the kind of people who really enjoy standing up and dancing and singing at the end of Mamma Mia. And then there are people who don't.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the kinds of two people as far as tourists. I'm the kind of person that really just cringes. And I'm like, oh, I fucking won't go see Mamma Mia because of that ending part where they're like, everybody. And then everybody stands up and they're like, Mamma Mia. I can't do that. I hate it. It makes me hate that show and want that show to die. these people are just that kind of person, you know? So she's good for that. I would call the police if Asia started doing that on my super yacht trip. She was like, oh, I'm going to rap and beatbox about wines from an internet Wikipedia page. I would call the fucking police.
Sandy was so happy, though. Sandy was like, I'm going to call the reverse police. I'm going to call the police and tell them you better get over here if you want to have a fun time. Okay, this is good.
I'm calling the hug police.
I'm going to clap along to the beatboxing. Yeah.
Sandy's just like,
Mamma mia.
Here we go again. Mama.
Bye, bye.
On the ones and the threes, everyone. Mamma mia. Here we go again.
So she keeps going, and the guests are just chucking fireball. And they find out it's mermaid night. And Pamela's like the wacky, you know, Pamela's the wacky one who really thinks she's getting her own show from coming on Below Deck. And she's like, it's mermaid night. Well, I'm absolutely going to get on that table. I'm absolutely going to do it. It's going to be crazy. No one's ever seen a blonde, crazy lady like me on this show. It's going to be amazing.
So Aisha is we're getting Chirons up on screen that are saying how it's been 13 hours since Aisha last had a break, which is wild. And it's a really good counterpoint to Ian, who just takes breaks whenever he decides he wants them and takes them for a very long time. So she's hungry. And all the guests are wasted. And Aisha is announcing that dinner is gonna be at 9 to everyone. And Gail goes up to Joe and she's like, hi, Joe. How are you? What's going on with the girls? And he's like, you know, I'm done with them all now. You know, I'll be in the wrong. If I went on this date with Ellie, full well knowing I don't want to go on a date. I'm like, are you still bringing this up, this fucking date that you didn't go on? Like, it's over. Stop trying to make yourself into a hero for following your heart, etc.
He really is making it like, I stood up against the patriarchy. I stood up against the patriarchy today, guys. He's like, knowing... if I had gone on that date knowing full well I didn't want to, I mean, the easy option would have been to go on the date. It takes more courage to say no. I'm a courageous human being. Where's my statue in the square? Where is it? Everything I do in this world. What are you talking about? Shut up and stop acting like you've been fucking repressed and forced to go on dates with these women your whole life, these evil women your whole life. You are such a fucking jackass. Also, give yourself 2 more years when people forget you've ever been on the show. Nobody wants to date your ass anymore.
Yeah, you don't get a purple heart. So he's like, so what's your view of it? Because obviously I know that we're mates. And she goes, okay, but you can't get offended. And he's like, no, I'm not offended. Well, you've given them all these hints that you're interested. So, you know, I feel like you did lead them on. And Ellie told me that about the line where you were like, I don't care which one as long as I get fucked or something like that. I don't know. I started feeling a bit of empathy for the girls.
Okay, now he said he can't get offended. Now let's watch Joe, who's just been stood up to by a woman, slowly turn that woman into a villain for no reason for the rest of the episode.
Exactly. That's what happens.
That's how fucking guys like Joe are.
And that's why she should never have stood up for him. And that's why when Ellie was saying that she was excited to go on a date in the first place, that's why Gail should not have bitten her tongue in that moment. Because whatever camaraderie she thought she was participating in with those deckies was a total falsehood, and he does not have any loyalty to her the way that she was trying to have loyalty to him in that moment.
Yeah. Guys like Joe live off of camaraderie, and the only time he's going to be nice to you is if you're making him come. Yeah. I can tell you that right now.
Camaraderie.
There are a dime a dozen of these guys. Camaraderie. So then she's like, well, he knows he's playing with these girls, but he really doesn't care as long as he gets what he wants. He's just always manipulating. That's the girl's fault. I'm just... saying it's a good guy thing. Is that an act?
He's not acting like a good guy. Why is everybody pretending that he's acting like he's not acting like a good guy? He's acting like an absolute piece of shit. Just nobody's calling him out on it.
Yeah, because he's smiling and being like, oh, I got in trouble again today. Because that's like the fuckboy way of getting out of, you know, anything, right? Oh, I'm in real trouble. Oh, I'm just a little boy who just put my hand in the cookie jar. But I don't mean anything by it. It's like, no, you are not a good guy. You can smile as much as you want, but you're a dick. You're manipulating people. And you're undermining those who actually stand up to you.
I'm breaking up.
You're breaking up?
Okay, so yeah. No, I'm breaking out. We're on video chat, so I had a moment to look at my zits. I've got like a Bermuda Triangle of pimples coming out. You know why? Ice cream. God damn you, ice cream, but I love you so much. I'd have 90 more of you if I could just have an intravenous ice cream going into my veins. I fucking love you. Never hurt me, ice cream. Ice cream, no matter what. If I stick my penis in it, if I don't stick my penis in it, ice cream is just always consistently wonderful to me. You want to talk about camaraderie.
I know. Okay, too much I've been going really hard for that, Jenny's.
Oh my God.
Have you had the cookies and, the cookies and cream? Not the cookies and cream, the cookie dough. That cookie dough that they have, that's like brown sugar custard.
Sugar? Oh, come on.
I've never in my life. Never have I ever. Fuck some cookie dough ice cream.
And so we've talked about it a bunch, right? So our phones hear us because they're fucking spying on us, you know, and then feeding us ads based on whatever we talk about, which is baseball coming and ice cream. So my Facebook is pretty crazy. It's like, hey, do you need some purple pills? Or do you need to maintain longer erections while you're watching baseball and eating Jenny's ice cream? That's basically my feed right now. But anyway, Jenny's keeps serving me ice cream ads. I didn't even know how many flavors they had. There are so many fucking flavors. I've had a baseball boner all day.
I may have to go, even though I have a freezer full of Jenny's ice creams, because they were very kind enough to send Ronnie and me some ice cream because we talked about it.
They're gone now. Well, I've got maybe two left. I've gone to town on that shit.
I live way too close to an actual Jenny's ice cream shop, so I may still have to mosey over there because I may need a cone. Today's just
girl,
too nice.
The rings on my Apple Watch started moving backwards.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f-ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay.
Okay. So guest Pamela, she's like, oh, I need rosé. I'm going to walk into the freezer because that's what wacky guests do. Whoa, that's cold. Look at this. Is this the galley or is it a kitchen? What do they call it? A galley or a kitchen? It looks like a kitchen, but they call it a galley. Wow, wacky Pamela. Oh, God. Go away, dinner theater Pamela. I can't take you. Low rent Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, Jono comes in. And then he's like laughing and hugs her, which is like really sweet because I feel like most chefs would be like, put down my knife. I bought that knife from a Tibetan monk in Greenwich Village. So
he's like, you can play with a knife. I just found that on an architecture job. We were building a monk house, whatever you call those, a temple. And unfortunately, I forgot to put a couple of screws in. It's gone now, but the knife remains. Have fun.
So then, Jono's telling us that, like, you know, because it's a mermaid party, he says, Tonight, my theme tonight is mer people. So I'm going to try to put like some of that theme into my menu. So I'm going to be serving some fresh mermaid and also with that, some flounder and seagull.
I was going to say this is disturbing because it's a mer people event. So he's going to serve things of the sea.
I'm gonna serve their friends.
You're supposed to serve. I don't think those are you're supposed to serve mer people. I don't know what mer people eat. I guess I've never
what
really
do
thought
mer people
about
eat.
It.
I feel like they're on a plant based diet. They just probably eat kelp. Ariel is eating kelp for sure. You know she goes to like underwater Erewhon. Okay, she's definitely going Erewhon under the sea.
Yeah, she's like having the Hailey Bieber, you know, $20 juice or whatever.
She definitely is. There is no way she's having anything like anything steak. She's not eating a swordfish, that's for sure.
Yeah, I took my sister and my niece to the Erewhon because they wanted to see where Harry likes to go get juice, Harry Styles, yeah. For those of you who've never heard of him. So we went to check it out, and Hailey Bieber's juice, Cadence was like, yep, there it is, Hailey Bieber's juice. It's $20. And I was like, do you want one? We can get really fancy. She goes, no, that's ridiculous. Who would pay $20 for a juice? And then
it's like purple,
like
right?
Almost like clockwork. It was a guy going, guys, you guys want a Hailey Bieber juice? It's amazing. I have it every day. She was like, oh my God.
That's
like,
so
welcome
funny.
To LA.
That's, I have not been to Erewhon since like 2001. So I don't even remember what it's like in there, but I'm scared to go in there. But, you know, this has nothing to do with Erewhon, but I feel like it's Erewhon adjacent. And I feel like I have to share it, which is that all this ice cream talk, et cetera, I feel like I do have to get it together. I feel like I'm largely in shape, but like I need to like, still take care. Like I'm still very skinny fat. And last night I went to a yoga class. This is where it's connected to Erewhon because I feel like yoga and Erewhon go together. And there was like a substitute yogi and he kept on calling me big guy.
And oh, hell no.
And he only called one other person big guy. And it was like a big guy. And everyone else is like rail thin. And he's like, hey, big guy. You mind taking?
Oh,
mind
hell take, no! That I was is like, some gay on gay crime. I would have killed.
I was
bitch.
Like, I was like, now I know big guy can also just be like this thing that like you know men
no,
do like
no.
being called big guy.
He
like I am a big guy,
doing.
Yeah. But I was
no.
like,
he knows. Is he gay? He sounds gay from
the
voice.
Gay.
Is he gay? He was, that's not a thing with gays of saying big. He knows what he was. Fucking
well, he was
doing.
Saying
that's
dude to people. Stuff. It was weird. He was sort of like he's gay, but he was trying to like speak in straight terms. Also, he was like
to,
hey,
to
dude.
People he thought were straight. Did he say dude to you?
He said no, big guy.
He said that to guys he assumed were straight.
Multiple times. That's, hey, big guy, I'm just your form.
That's violence. That's fucking violence.
I was
violence.
Like, I'm not
stop
big guy.
You better give me his name. I'm Better Business Bureauing his ass after this.
I'm like, I am not big guy. I am just more Jenny's ice cream friendly.
That is gay on gay violence. How dare he?
No, I actually need that because it motivates me to go back to the gym. I'm like, I am big guy. I am big guy. I want to go from bullshit. Big guy to chief. Because if you're going to give me like big guy, say, you know, if you want to like.
I would just feel old if they called me chief. Just don't call me anything. I think it's 2024. You can't say that anymore. You can't be like, hey, girl. People get offended.
I think,
can't be like, hey, big guy. You can't say, hey, man. You can't say anything. Just stop labeling people altogether. Just say hello.
I'd be okay
that's
being
it.
Called chief. You know what? Because like, I think the idea behind, because a lot of people that you call big guy, it's kind of like, I'm basically appealing to your ego that you're like the big man on campus. You have like authority, whatever. Da, da, da. But if you're gay, it's like, oh, I can't believe you called me big guy. But like, that's why chief, you can call me chief then. Or maybe instead of chief.
But here's the thing. If a straight guy called you big guy, it wouldn't be that big of a deal because straight people address each other in odd ways. But a gay person, you know what he's doing. Gay people don't just say, hey, big guy. Okay. Gay people have all been bullied. Gay men, especially, have all been bullied. We've all bullied each other. You know, that's why that Trevor Project thing, I say, oh, they say it gets better. Wait until you're 20 pounds overweight in a gay bar and then tell me it gets better. Fucking Trevor Project. You know, we've all been victims of gay bullying in gay bars. He knows what he's fucking doing.
Like the one person in yoga class in Hollywood that doesn't have abs. And I'm like, he's like, hey, big guy. I'm like, excuse me.
Oh, how dare he? Oh, my God. You should have just started doing lines from like Delta Burke's Designing Women episode. Like they shoot fat people, don't they? I mean, it won her an Emmy. I'd just start doing it.
What if I just do and that's the night the lights went out and I'll just do a different Designing Women's, you know.
No, because she's thin. You have to do Delta Burke lines only because she was the one who had that storyline of gaining weight and stuff. That's horrible. What a fucking monster. I have a question about this post. Who's eating Gilbert Grape? Who is it, you little
well, the point of the story is this. Fuck Erewhon also. So, okay.
No, here's the moral of the story. This is when we get yoga teachers canceled, okay? I'm going to ask you who this is when we're off the air, and I'm going to go down there with the picket sign, and I'm going to just stand there in a crop top with my love handles hanging out, and I'm going to see this guy's anti-fat people, and I'm going to get the other two fat people in L.A. to join me, and we're taking him down.
Here's the thing. He was subbing in because the normal yoga teacher got a pass.
Not again. Never again. Sorry.
Go
back to work at the Lego factory because you're done with yoga, sir.
Well, he announced that the normal yoga teacher is climbing Half Dome up in Yosemite. I'm like, so she's dead.
She's not coming back.
She's not coming back. So what? I'm now big guy. I'm going to be big guy.
All right. Well, let's get back to this recap, but that's bullshit. Okay. So in other news, Bree's like,
I'm going to quickly get changed and go start Gavin's. Oh, whoops. I cannot find my dress.
Have you checked Captain Sandy's cabin? Because that's where you brought all the wrong clothing to all season. So
Captain Sandy's like, wait a minute. What is this? What is this dicky someone gave me? She's putting it over her neck.
I think that is skirt. No, it's a dicky. I think it's just like a little turtleneck. We used to wear these in the 70s. God, I love these. Do I look good?
Captain Sandy doesn't even know what a skirt is.
So then Pamela's drunk and she's just wasted, and Aisha's helping her out, and Bree's like,
my little black dress is nowhere to be found. Aisha's given me an ultimatum about misplacing clue laundry, but if it's my own clothes, does it really count?
So then the lady is wearing like really, or the guy, one of the guys, someone is wearing really long prosthetic balls that are hanging down. And it's just like, anyone in my life that knows me knows I love balls. Whenever I see balls, this is what I do. Balls! I love balls in my hands. I love balls on my face. I love balls on my cheeks. I want them on my mouth. The softer, the better. Balls!
Aisha, I think I lost your balls.
Oh, no, my favorite. So Aisha goes and checks in on Bree.
I'm not like a big fan either way of balls. I mean, you know, they're there or whatever. I don't hate them, but I'm not like, I wonder what his balls are like. Like, I never really think of balls, except that they're in my way. In general, I think they're kind of in my way. And I really don't like that they're one size 1 second and then another size the next second. Like, it's very difficult to figure out. Like, can we just come up with a uniform size balls? I mean, at least for me, like, I don't need 10 different sizes. If you saw me in one part of the day, you're like, oh my god, look at Ronnie and his tiny nuts, thank god he doesn't want to have children. But then in the next one, it's like, whoa, did you go grocery shopping for a family of 11 with those balls? Jesus, those are some balls. You tripping over those things? I mean, what the hell? Does everybody need an expandable ball? Can we just get a normal uniform nut sack?
I mean, balls should be like a mortgage rate, fixed and not variable. Okay. So Aisha.
Thank you. And then if a better size comes along, I should be able to switch to that.
Precisely. So Aisha's like, Bree, how are you doing with cabins? She's like,
oh, Aisha, Bree, I am okay. Everything is fine.
And Aisha's like, I feel like I should go check on her. So how are you going, Bree? I know you're still wearing, you're not even wearing your red shirt. It's like you found a little plastic bag that's red. What happened to your red shirt?
My black dress. I can't find my black dress.
Oh. Well, what the fucking grace have you done?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know.
So she's like, if my laundry Sue can't even find her own laundry, she's supposed to find someone else's laundry. And then Captain Sandy comes in wearing just like a little turban on her head.
You know what? Thanks so much for whoever left this little turban. I love this.
It's really cute.
Thank you. Fashion forward me.
Listen. Bree should have been fired a long time ago. And like, I have empathy for Aisha that everything's on her shoulders these days and she's just standing. She doesn't get to sit to have her meals, yada, yada, yada. But I'm starting to get to this point where I feel like it's so obvious that Bree should have been fired a long time ago. So the fact that like Aisha has to do everything now and things are slipping, it's kind of starting to come back to Aisha. Like, this is actually starting to move into bad management.
Well, that's the kind of this whole season, right? Because with Sandy, I think, you know, I see Sandy starting to get a lot of it online too. But the thing is, they don't have a staff. So, like, they're already down a person. But I guess that's because of the leaky room. But then there's no chef, there's no stews. And then I was reading on Reddit, there was on the Below Deck sub. Hi, everybody on the Below Deck sub. Love ya.
Love ya.
But they were talking about how, there was someone who's claiming that they were on the show. They were one of the people. And they're saying how no one gets paid to do this, which we already know. You know, they get like $5. And then they're kind of shunned from the industry after this because either you're ruined and canceled. Because you've done something stupid on the boat, or people just look down on you for doing the show. So it's getting harder and harder to cast the show. So I don't know if that's even an excuse at this point, but it's getting pretty bad. But Ellie doesn't really know what she's doing a lot of the time either. At least that's how they're presenting it to us. Bree doesn't know. The chef definitely doesn't know. What do you do? Ian's falling asleep. He doesn't even know when a rope is tied to the thing. Joe doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. So yeah. Who do you even trust? Like, nobody knows. It's like a clown car. I can't even believe the boat's ever allowed to leave the dock. Like, are there no regulations? Nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a full-on disaster. But I still think Bree should have been fired a long time ago because,
yeah,
like this is... It should not be all on Aisha. Either way, but it is. Okay. So now...
kind of day are you having...
This is just spiraling.
You're really going through it today, Jordan.
I got distracted by a text message. What can I say? So that's the funniest thing, when getting distracted by a text message and try to segue back into the conversation, and you're like not sure you can, so you just sort of say something. You're like, but you know what she is anyway. Moving on, and everyone's like, what the fuck are you saying right now?
Let's just talk about balls more. So then there Aisha puts the costume balls down on the table and stabs him with the fork. And Pam was like, I'm so drunk. I just went and saw a galley. Is it a galley or a kitchen? and the Macaulay Culkin as the Brady Bunch mom, Carson Kressley guy, is like, I'm so happy to be with such a group of classy people. I was like, whoa, I did not expect that voice to come out of Mrs. Brady. Cressley Culkin.
From Mrs. Brady Cressley Culkin. Hi, this is Mrs. Brady Cressley Culkin. I'm calling about our meeting today. Do we have a confirmation for 3 p.m.? Thank you so much. You can reach me at my number.
Okay. This was horrifying. What happens next? We've got tuna carpaccio with pineapple caramel.
Why is pineapple caramel being served with tuna carpaccio in Greece?
That's the first thing.
Is that me?
You're like, what?
Maybe it's an island thing. Maybe it's from where Jono is from. So maybe it's like not a wild idea.
I didn't even go with that because I don't know. I wasn't there to taste it. Maybe it's something really cool. You know what I mean? Or maybe it's a caramelized pineapple, which would go well. I don't know. It sounded weird. But what I'm going to point out is not that. It's the actual tuna. Is this guy fucking kidding? Those were like chicken cutlets.
Did you
see the tuna? Tuna carpaccio does not look like that. It looks small.
It's thin. Small. It's thin. It's a translucent bitch.
And they were like multiple. It was like six chicken cutlets glommed on top. It was like a big pile of dead, slimy flesh. It looked disgusting. And it was not even pink. Like,
and it was also on a bed of lettuce or something, right? Ugh. So then Jennifer, there's a guest named Jennifer, and Jennifer has two options. She's deathly allergic to raw fish. She has two options. When it arrives, she can say, oh, no, I'm sorry, I can't have that. Or she can do what she does, which is the more fun thing to do, which is then the wait. Once the staff leaves, she goes, well, it looks beautiful. I would eat it if I could, but I can't eat raw seafood because it would kill me. Yeah. In my preference sheet, I said it about 15 times. Yeah, 15 times. Mm-hmm. Can't have it. I hope you guys all enjoy it. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just sit here and stare at this thing that wants to kill me. I guess y'all want me dead. Okay.
Yeah, just enjoy eating the gun in my mouth, everybody. Enjoy that. It would taste good.
Oh. So does anyone want cyanide? Because that's basically what's been served to me right now. Okay. No one cares.
Would anyone like to just... tie a rope around my neck and tie me to the top there where that disco ball is hanging down from, and then kick the table out from under me while you eat.
That would be great.
You guys want me to just chuck myself overboard? I can do that. Seems like that's what you guys all want. Seems like you guys are enjoying this a lot. Okay, enjoy. Have fun with your death food.
So Sandy comes in with her hands in some kind of newfangled polyester hand warmer thing that she's turned the skirt into. And she's like, oh, hey, everybody. How was it? Was it good? Was it good? And she goes, well, Captain Sandy, I would eat it if I could, but I have an iron overload and it might kill me if I eat it. So would you like to take a chainsaw and just behead me while everybody's enjoying dinner?
Okay, I'm going to handle that. And by handle that, I mean I'm going to walk out of the room and not clear that death food away from you. Okay, bye.
I'm just going to go ahead and leave. I'm going to go rant and rave for an hour about how you just almost died while I leave the murder weapon sitting right in front of you.
It's like literally someone, it's like the bomb squad. You're trapped in a room with a bomb. The bomb squad comes in and goes, someone left a bomb here. I'll be right back. Let me go check on who did this. It's like, no, please dismantle it. Disarm it.
I'm calling the CBS, the FBI, the CTU. I'm calling everybody. We're going to get to the bottom of this. You just sit tight with that bomb.
Hey, Jono. Okay. Hey. Oh, Captain Sandy, that babushka looks really nice on you. Thank you. I found it in my room. One of the guests, it's on their preference sheet. Raw seafood will kill her. And it's in front of her plate.
Jono fucks up so much, but I really like Jono. I find him to be
so lovely. So lovely. I want him to thrive, but it's like, what Craigslist ad did he answer for the show? This is not his ministry. I'm sorry.
I know, but I just think he's such a funny person. But oh my God, he's so frustrating, but he's also so funny because she's like, Jono, this lady got fish and she almost died. And he goes, oh no.
Who did that?
And just looks around like, I can't believe, how did that happen to her? You know, like he has no personal responsibility. And she goes, that's a really big Jono screw up. That's a really big screw up, Jono. And he goes, okay.
It was on her preference sheet. Yeah. And I apologize. I apologize for that.
Okay, well, can you go see her? Because she has raw fish in front of her. She's literally just sitting there with the raw fish. So she should have the Ghost of Christmas Future there right now, just standing with the sickle, asking her about her deal with the bank. You know, you might want to go check on her. She's on her third act, okay?
Yeah, she already fell into a swimming pool earlier today. Oh, that was Norma, actually.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
So we'll just mix together all the Christmas ghost stories. You know, every time a piece of tuna falls on a plate somewhere, Norma gets her wings. Okay, I'm really didn't make sense. I'm just sort of distracted by this amazing new halter top I found. Okay. I am really fucking pissed. Never in my 35 years at sea or being chased by pirates had a chef ever had a chef feed a guest something that could actually kill her, period. This is a fireable offense. But as we all know, a fireable offense is also a huggable offense. So we may just have to hug it out. Okay, so now I just have to look for a replacement chef. And by replacement chef, I mean not a replacement chef.
So he goes up and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll take it away from you. She's like, oh my God, a guest, Aisha, come here. A guest will serve fish. The fish will kill her. She's over there staring at it right now. Go look at her. I hope she licks it. I hope she just licks it. How she tests me, you know?
The fish will kill her. Well, that fish should be in jail.
And someone's like, didn't you put that on your preference sheet? She's like, I did. I sure did about 5 times. I mean, I know I said 15 times earlier. Oh, yeah, let's just reduce it to 5. Get this guy in less trouble. He really is so sweet.
I was just, when I said 15, I was just accommodating for Xerox copies because I did 5. And then I knew that they made 3 copies. So that's 15 total. That is 15 total that the crew saw, you know.
So Sandy's like, Jono, I need you to know how serious this is. He goes, I do. And when you put a lot of lime on it, people say that cooks the fish, but you're right. I guess it's not, I guess that's not true or something. You're right. I'm like, are you really going to go with the,
she's like,
it was
no.
supposed to be a fucking, what do you call that? Not a, a ceviche. Are you really going to go with that? That was a ceviche.
You cannot tell me that was a ceviche. You, first of all, you would say,
and there's no way that the lime can even penetrate through that much flesh. That was ridiculous. You were serving actual people and, like, sized.
Well, the thing is also, like, you would have to start that lime ceviche earlier for it to, like, cook the fish. And it would, the fish would change color. So John was like, oh, I feel terrible how I let that slip. I think I just had, like, too many things on my mind. Like, okay, when do I start the cookies? Okay, are those going to be 7 minutes before dessert or 8 minutes, you know? And I also have, like, it's stressful, you know?
I'm so sorry for interrupting. I was just going to say, you know how difficult it is. Like, you have to plan out when you're going to open the package of cookies. Like, is it going to be difficult? Is it going to be child resistant to open the package?
You know,
a lot of things can happen.
I have to think about, like, that Smucker's caramel. Am I going to put it on zigzag pattern or spiral? It's just like a lot.
So next they serve grilled lobster with a parsley marinade, which...
Parsley marinade.
The fuck is that?
A parsley marinade.
You're fucking, I feel like you're fucking with me. And John is like, no, call it a lemon garlic marinade. Okay, well, that's better. So then Sandy just walks away. She's like, oh God, this is not good. This is not good.
So she serves the lobster. And
last
then...
time I saw a lemon marinade was when we had to soak Norma after getting sprayed by that skunk.
Oh, wait, hold on. I remember. It was actually, we actually had to actually bathe the skunk after Norma sprayed the skunk. That's,
I know. The skunk couldn't get asked to prom. Everyone kept saying, God, were you sprayed by Norma? Terrible. Oh, speaking of, bloop, 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 bloop. Norma, hi, it's Sandy. Bloop, hey, bitch. Bloop, hey, bitch. Wow, you're still feeling at your job, huh? I've been asking you for a chef now for 9 weeks, Norma. Bloop,
bloop. Yeah, well, you know, I've been hearing all the shit you've been talking about me the past few weeks. You haven't even been calling me. And, it's actually been great. I haven't heard your breath, you know, your voice. You know, it's funny how halitosis can come right through the phone. So I guess I've just been busy doing other things, going on hot dates, getting banged by a lot of guys. I don't know. What have you been up to?
Bloop. Well, listen here. I haven't even needed to floss because you've been taking up all the floss. I've heard about you traipsing around the beach in a thong. The locals have asked, please stop her. Please.
Really? Because the last time I checked, I've been, you've been the one who's been sucking at fixing leaks. Sorry, I'm a little rusty because I've been getting banged so much with hot guys and grease.
Bloop. I'm sure, guys, you can't even come up with anything to say after all those gnat dicks you've had in your mouth. Bloop.
Really? How about all the not healthy food you've been feeding your guests, the sort of food that can kill them? Way to go. Bloop.
Okay, listen, bitch, I just need a replacement, okay? I'm not even kidding this time. This guy's trying to kill a guest. I just watched it happen for 20 minutes.
Bloop. Bloop. Oh, wow. That's probably as long as your fiance watches you pick lint out of your belly button. Bloop.
Yeah, I haven't seen someone that struck with fear since you went with the bikini last time you went to the beach.
Bloop. Well, yeah, well, you know what? I haven't seen, you know... Word is the pirates, you scared away the pirates because you took your tap off.
Floof. I think you need a nap, hun. Love you, bitch.
I've been up all night with Hans. He's visiting from Austria. Bloop.
So Ellie's like,
the primary string is empty, but should we cut her off? She keeps saying galley kitchen, and then slapping people with fake balls.
And Aisha's like, oh yeah, do you want to clear the rest of the plate? This is my thing. Every time, here's, listen, Ellie, every time I come to the bar after you, there's rags around, and I like things neat. So you need to keep things neat. Do you understand? You're not glassy at a local pub. You're bartender on a five-star super yacht. I don't have time to keep repeating myself. At this point, I feel like I'm a one-woman show, a one-woman show, a one woman who just wants a ball on her forehead. You know what I mean? Can I get some testicles rubbed on my ears? Please.
You're a bartender on a five-star super yacht. Now let me take this fork and stab this person's testicles five times. When she did that, by the way, that was, I really did not like, I know it was a prosthetic, I did not need to see that at all. So
she started stabbing the fake balls.
Yes. So
yeah, she's like, please be classy, and then she's stabbing the fake balls and talking about how much she loves balls on her face.
I know. Really? Are there still plates on the table? And she's like, oh, I thought you were talking about these plates. Oh, so now Ellie starts doing the, I can't win. It starts to feel like this is big. I read a lot about leadership nitpicking. Like, how does this try to make me harder? You know, I don't know. What's the deal with nitpicking? Like, rewind the pat, like six episodes in a row of Ellie nitpicking everything that Brie does.
I've read a lot about leadership, how to win friends and influence sluts who are trying to steal your man.
So Brie is going to go look for her dress because she still has not found it.
I think it's so funny that she just can't. This is her whole storyline, the whole thing.
I still have not found my dress.
Bloop. Hey, Sandy, guess what? It's Norma. So I was looking and I'm trying to find some available chefs, but it's hard because it turns out none of them want to work with bitches.
Bloop. Sorry, I would respond, but I'm in my bikini era. Bloop. I think that's a skirt.
Bloop.
What's a skirt?
Bikini era? Okay, I'll be sure to alert the Coast Guard to avert any other yachts that might accidentally see you.
So then we cut to Pamela. She's like, I'm so drunk. I was in the kitchen, but they called to the galley. Help! Save me! So Jonathan's like, oh my God, I'm definitely thinking about this mistake with the raw fish. Oh God, chefs have been fired for much smaller mistakes, and it's my reputation. I'm really disappointed I let this happen. Who's ever going to ask for a new building made out of tuna carpaccio again from me?
So Aisha is going to bed. She has not had a break all day. It's been 18 hours. And Brie finds her dress in some random cabinet.
Oh, there it is behind the tuna fish.
So now it's this next day. Everyone's waking up and Sandy is on the phone. She's, hello, sir. It's Captain Sandy. Hi. Hey. Oh, you're the boat owners. Hi. Hi, Mr. Boat Owner. So listen, we got the leak fixed. Yeah. And I'm hoping that we could bring a fourth stew on. Yeah. Could we do that? Guy's like, yeah, I don't know who this is, but sure. Hire someone. I don't care.
He's like, I'm rich. I don't give a fuck what you do.
I don't know what. I own Campbell's Soup. So you hire whoever the fuck you want.
So John was like, this morning I still have the ghost of Carpaccio following me. I said, ghost, please stop torturing me. And they said, why did you dip me in lime?
I'm not sure what my future might hold. Bloop. Says every building that's built by him. When am I gonna fall apart? So
says everybody like trying to get a nap in a hotel built by John. Like, wait a minute, do you think that ceiling fan made out of steak bones is going to fall on my head?
Has anyone noticed that this entire building seems to be swaying? It's like, well, yeah, that's what happens when you're at the top of a skyscraper. Yeah, but it's only a two-story building.
Well, it was made out of chicken wings.
And Q-tips. What do you expect?
So wacky stuff is happening because it's the morning. And Joe runs up the stairs and then falls flat on his back.
Which is great.
And he's like, good morning. And then Sandy
Sandy's like, hey, Aisha, you want some pita? You know what I never see? I never see you sitting for a meal, Aisha. You never sit down for a meal.
I don't. I've got no time.
Well, how would you feel if we brought in...
If I prayed, what are you, a nun today? All right, sister, whatever, I'm listening to you. Do you like it? It's my new habit top. It was left in my room last night.
Oh, yes. It's very, very devotional.
Yeah, well, what if we brought in another stew? How about that?
Oh, that would be amazing. That would solve everything.
So she's hugging her. She's so excited. So then we find out we're bringing on a fourth. Dun, 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 dun.
And then will you promise to sit? I just want to see you sit. You know what I'd love to see? You just need to get everything in at the same time. Can you just do a nap hug snack all in one time? Just please, I need it.
Sitting is a nap for the legs. So she's like,
absolutely, I'll sit as many times as you want me to.
So the guests wake up for breakfast and everything, and Sandy is ready. She's asking the marina to disconnect the power so they can go on a little ride today. She's, you know, I see a window in the weather, and I'm going to get off the boat dock so we can get the toys out. Like, the clients can have a good time, unlike men going on dates with Norma, as long as it's not lightning.
So basically, they're going to get to go off the boat today. So they're super excited. They find out at breakfast that they get to leave. And then Joe is talking about how the lines are a little heavier because they're wet. And Ian's like, gave us a bit of a workout. I felt it when I was taking a nap. That's the kind of leader I am.
Okay, deck crew, we're ready to go. So they're going. And Ellie, meanwhile, has overslept a little bit. So she's like, oh, Aisha, I am so sorry. I overslept this morning slightly. Would it be possible to have a quick breakfast? And she's like,
you started at 9:15, so you should have eaten before you started.
Okay, I won't. Nitpicker?
What was that?
Nothing. Nothing?
I have read a lot of books about leadership. None of them said, starve your stars.
So, do you have a task in mind?
Well, can you just help Bree? She's still looking for her dress. I think that maybe Captain Sandy's using it as a moon boot of some sort.
Wow, it's crazy. Left or right, just as uncomfortable on both.
So, Sandy and the deck team depart. And Joe is looking for a polo because he is missing a red polo, but he's kind of whispering in front of Captain Sandy about it, but she's not hearing him, I don't think. And Pam, the guest, miraculously can't remember anything from yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to Joe, who's talking about lines. So he's talking to Gail, and he's like, so you want to use a different line for the swim platform, don't you? And she's like,
well, I'm just going to tie up these two so it's easier when you come off. You just want to unclip them real quick so you're not trying to find them in the water. And he's like, just listen, I'm trying to help. I'm like, oh, here we go.
A real dick.
Yeah. Someone said something that Joe didn't like. So now he's going to like try and power trip all over the place. The problem is you don't know much, Joe.
And then Danny, that's the guy in the wig. So he wants to go into his room. And so Ellie clears out. She leaves her phone in the cabin. So he's like, oh, by the way, someone left their phone here. So it winds up, Aisha winds up with it. So she radios Ellie and she's, you know, and so while she's radioing Ellie, we go back to Joe and Gail. And Gail, Joe's just still on his like whole power trip. He's like, Gail, maybe let her go now so we don't crash. She's like, yeah, well, we'll get it ready. I'm gonna have you clip them against the vest, Joe. And she's like, come on. Gail, if you're annoyed at me, don't do it in front of the guests, for God's sake. I'm like, this guy's so fragile, his little ego. I can't stand him. He's really drives me nuts. And then meanwhile, Aisha's like, hey, Ellie, you left your phone in the cabin. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I got pulled over and I'm so sorry. I apologize. Just don't walk around with your phone on you. I need mine for provisioning, but no one else needs this. And she's like, yes, oh, yes, absolutely. No worries. No worries. I'm not mad at you. I'm nitpicker.
I have been working my ass off this entire season, and I am aspiring to be chief stew, so I want to be treated like that, and Aisha seems to be taking me for granted now. Is she recognizing my efforts?
Questionable! After every episode.
My chief, instead of mentoring me, is treating me like I don't belong here. I'm like, oh God. It's because there's only two charters left and you're still making silly mistakes. And you should know by now, especially because you're talking so much about wanting to be a chief stew. And so she's exhausted because you're also not helping Bree do a better job and everything's landing on Aisha's lap. And so now you're going to complain that you're the victim here when Aisha's the one who has to stand every time she wants to have a croissant.
So then Joe goes to Nathan because, you know, what's the point of just getting mad at Gail, who's unflappable? He's going to try and fuck things up with Nathan and Gail, right? So he's like, I don't think Gail likes me telling her what to do whatsoever. We're having problems. And he's like, well, she hasn't said anything to me. Don't even worry about it. And then Joe is telling, he has like a monologue to us. And he's like, oh, Gail doesn't want to listen to me when I'm trying to help her, but she'll listen to Nathan because they have a little relationship,
Well, you could have had one, too, if you actually just stuck with anyone. Now he's mad at people who actually commit to someone else. So, but like, this is so, again, like, he's not mad at Nathan for having a special relationship with Gail. He's only mad at Gail for having a special relationship with Nathan. And so.
And he's walking behind her just this whole trip being like, are you going to hose like that? Why are you hosing like that? Why are you tying it like that? You shouldn't be doing it like that. She's like, oh my God, please fuck off. Like,
yeah.
And then everyone knows you shouldn't be lead deckhand. This is a fucking joke. You don't even know how to tie the lines right. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Cause he's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still the lead deckhand. Let me do my job. It's like, yeah, but you were kind of demoted. You like Captain Sandy basically said, like, Nathan is the guy. So like, get your small dick energy out of here and move on.
Yeah. So he's still doing it. He's like, the boat's coming in. And she's like, well, we can put him on this side and then them on that side, right? And he's like, we've got two coming in. She goes, oh, right. So you want them on one side or whatever you want? And he's like,
So the wind is kicking up they're going to like, Sandy tells Gail to pull in the slide and everything. And meanwhile, Joe is in. He's talking to Ellie, or I guess he's looking for more polos because he really only has that one polo. So he winds up going down to laundry and he's like whispering to Bree, because Sandy's right there. And he's like, oh, if there's any red polos about, will you let me know? I don't want to make a big deal. Just one red polo. I just want one red polo. I'll do anything for a red polo. I'll steal one. I'll do whatever. My family needs one red polo. It's for my grandpappy.
Yeah. He's like, it's getting disgusting, it's stinking, and I don't want to snitch on her, but this polo stinks. It's getting yellow now. It's getting yellow. So then we see Nathan and Gail flirting, and I literally every time I see them, I just start falling asleep. But he's talking about how he had no affection growing up, so he can't believe he has so much with Gail, but she brings it out in me. So then Sandy is radioing about how they're going to have fireworks and it's time to haul the anchor and all that good stuff. And Jono's like, dinner tonight. We're celebrating an anniversary. So it's a special dinner. The preferences request seafood again, but everything is definitely going to be cooked, including the popping pussies that are about to come out on the plate.
So Sandy goes down and goes, hey, Jono, did you double and triple check the preference sheet? Absolutely. Yeah, so you see what's on there? Yes, I totally checked it. And by checked it, I mean I pulled it into like, you know, a little structure that I made. It's called a blueprint. I don't know about architecture school if you've ever been to it, but that's how we build buildings. You know, Frank Gehry, the way he designs buildings, he takes a piece of paper and he crumples it up and he says, there, that is my next building. So that's what I do with preference sheets.
You know what's amazing about you? You're just so fine. You're just such a fun gay. I mean, you serve dinner, and I actually have to look at the dinner and think, which one of these is a murder weapon? It's like playing Clue.
So then Ellie and Bree are having a nice moment. Ellie's like, have you noticed how well we get along when Joe's out of the picture? Also, when Aisha could be new enemy? And Bree's like, you know, I regret allowing a random man to make me look like a dumb bitch. It's really all Aisha's fault. He really did go back and forth between both of us. Play with our head, play with my head. And that's fucked up. You know, that's not how you treat women. Glad we're out of it. Now let's both talk about why Aisha is terrible.
I'm sorry for what he did to you because it is so cold. This is the best interaction Ellie and I have had since the beginning of the season. I do feel really bad about the bathroom incident with Joe. It can never be spoken about. Ever.
Wait until next episode. Okay, here's my prediction. Joe, now that the women have decided to come together and they don't want him anymore, he is going to try to basically, he likes to cause chaos. You know, he doesn't want to be the bad guy. So he's going to mention to Ellie or to someone else that he and Bree hooked up in the bathroom. So at least Ellie will find out. So that way Ellie gets mad at Bree, which means that they no longer have their truce, which means that Bree can go back to hooking up with Joe. I guarantee he's going to do that. Although that now that there's a new Stu coming in, it may upset the balance. He may just go for her, but I still think he's going to do the pull that move just because it's like a weird power play that fuckboys do.
Right. Like he'll still need them fighting over him.
Yeah. Exactly. Bless he wants heart. Them. He needs them to fight over him because that's how he feels like relevant in this life.
Yeah. So Jono's like, I've put so much effort into this dinner and I've hit all points on the preference sheet. So now's the moment of truth. I just so much work. And then he serves fried calamari.
Yeah. Well, OK, I'm going to say this. This was like one of the times his plating looked all right. Like he did something like he had like, was this the one where there was like a thing of carrot, a thing of parsley sort of like in these bow shaped. It wasn't the typical like glop and glop and glop and a pile of something on the side. There was like an attempt at making it look refined. I was like, okay, he's like, we're seeing signs of life for Jono as a chef.
Yeah. So then Steve and Janie are the lucky couple. So he gives her a bracelet. He's like, I'd like to thank Jeannie for putting up with me for all these years. Jeannie, I love you. And she's like, oh, honey, if I get fireworks and jewelry, what else am I getting tonight? And he's like, lucky. You're about to get lucky, Jeannie.
I'll tell you one thing she's not going to get tonight. Creme brulee. So we go back to the kitchen, the galley, yeah. And we see Jono pulling out that fucking chocolate cake. Every time he touches that chocolate cake, you just know it's not going to be good. So
it's never going to be good. Like when he's like whipping out that Entenmann's after throwing away the carton, you just know shit's about to go down.
It's not right. So he pulls it out. He puts slices on everyone's plate. So I'm already like, oh no, here comes like the giant scoop of ice cream and the raspberry sauce. But he changes it up because he also puts, he tops it with like a cookie, which by the way, that's like not a thing. A cookie on top of a cookie.
A cake. It's not a thing. A cookie.
It's going to smush the cake.
I think he says cookie cake, right? No, that's not a cookie cake. It's a cake made out of a cookie. It's not a cookie on top of a cake.
And then he puts a scoop of ice cream on top.
That's not to say that I've never eaten that.
Yeah.
I have eaten this very thing, but it's like desperation, sad binge eating, you know, at the end of the day where I'm like, do I murder somebody else or do I murder these cookies and this cake that I happen to have in my fridge?
Listen, did I have this exact dessert last night after I was called big guy multiple times by my yogi? Perhaps.
While I was crying? Perhaps. Sure, maybe.
No, this is, okay, this is what I said to Dom. I said, look, I will eat the fuck out of this dessert. This dessert would make me so happy. But this is the word, like, why the fuck are you serving this? I'm sorry to drop so many F-bombs, okay? But, like, this is ridiculous. It's so inappropriate for a high-end meal. And there's a way you can do chocolate cake high-end. There's actually a way you can even do a cookie high-end or even homemade ice cream, but not this. And especially not with that drizzle he put on top that makes it look like a breakfast Danish. It was just mortifying.
It was mortifying. I thought Janie, you know, let's take a look at Janie. Janie's in kind of that dress barn, mother of the bride dress.
Key and West.
Like the glass is coming down the middle of her nose. And I'm like, Janie ain't going to care.
Yeah.
You know, part of me was just like, Janie will love this. It's kind of like a people of Walmart, like how to save money at a wedding kind of a dessert. But Janie was not having this shit. Okay. I'm saying that right now.
That was just so cold. It was such a quick and efficient piece of dark shade right there.
Well, look, you know, I act like I'm all classy, but I am a Texan and I am half country.
Yeah.
You know, I'm half Lebanese and I'm half country. So I know this fair quite well. I mean, I've been to plenty of weddings in a park or a church community center where this has been kind of the thing. And I've seen her outfit in many of those weddings. So I put the two and two together. I was like, this is probably going to fly. It's probably going to be fine. But Janie was not having it. And she's like, do not let my dress fool you. This is not what I ordered. It's very disappointing.
Yeah. And you know what? I fully supported her. This was not a moment where I was like, oh, she's being a Trishelle. I was like, This is, I love that she stood up for herself. To me, this was not her being trying to have a moment on TV. This was her saying, this is my 25th wedding anniversary. We dress up in tuxedos. Well, and you know, look, Danny put on his nicest wig and this is what you're going to serve for dessert. That's totally unacceptable.
Danny even put on his, I just got left at the airport by my parents' face.
he put on his best Jonathan Taylor Thomas wig. And for you to serve this low-end dessert when we're dressed so formally is unacceptable.
I agree. I actually respected her for this because she was just very firm. She wasn't trying to have a huge moment. She had just fucking had it. And I think that a lot of the guests come on this show, sometimes they want to cause trouble, like that lady from a couple weeks ago who's like, oh my God, I head up cotillions and this is not a butter knife. And she just looked like a total asshole. Yeah. And the internet ripped her apart. But some of them don't mean to do that. And the internet rips a new asshole. And I think that a lot of the cast now are very aware and they don't want to look stupid on TV and they don't want to be villainized on TV. So they're like letting people get away with murder. And Jono has gotten away with a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot he's been called on some stuff, but only when it's glaringly obvious. He's gotten away with a ton of shit food. I mean, that tuna carpaccio alone, I can't believe that she came up and saw that and not only said this could have killed someone, but this is fucking hideous. It's a glop of dead flesh. It's piles of dead flesh on a plate. It's not even pink. What are you serving people?
Well,
where were you trained? Like, he's getting away with a lot of shit. And I think this lady has finally just had it. She's like, listen, I put up with your bullshit this whole time, but a cookie on a cake?
Yeah.
I'm at it.
And she also specifically asked for souffles, creme brulees, things like that. And I think she was totally reasonable in expressing her frustration with the situation. And it just was not right. And like, if you want to serve cookies, like, you serve it almost like after the dessert, like you have the dessert and then you come up and you say, oh, now a little treat. And everyone's like, oh my God, cookies. And then everyone says, God, I could have just had a cookie for dessert and I would have been happy, which is a lie because everyone wants the creme brulee to feel elevated, rightfully so. But like, you know, Ina Garten, her whole mentality that a thing she likes to do is for formal occasions, serve something that's surprisingly casual. And for casual occasions, serve something that's like surprisingly formal. It's like catch them off guard a little bit. And I don't know if he was trying to go for that, but like even when Ina Garten does like a quote unquote, like informal dish for a formal thing, like invite your boss over for dinner, which was an episode, there's still a way to present a cookie just in a way that feels like nostalgic and elevated and special. But like throwing it on top of a piece of cake doesn't even make sense. And then the ice cream.
Make sense.
It's just, everything's wrong. Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. And it's, you know, creme brulee, first of all, it's one of those things that I think people think it makes them sound fancy to be like, I'm ordering a creme brulee because it's not really that fancy. I mean, it's some fucking pudding with some sugar that you take it out of the fridge and you fire some sugar up on top of it and boom, it's crackly on top. You know, it's really not hard. And that's what's even more frustrating. It's really one of those simple things that they specifically asked for. It would make them feel fancy, even though it's kind of cheesy and played out at this point. But all you had to do was make it days before and leave it in the fridge. You didn't even have to make it right now.
It's not, like
a souffle would have been more difficult.
A souffle, yeah.
A fucking brulee, come on,
dude. Honestly, I think that if you wanted to do this is how I think I would have done it to make it seem like elevated and special, which is I think I would have maybe made like the cake, cut it into like long, narrow strips, almost like a candy bar sort of thing. Like, you know, when sometimes cake comes like long and narrow, and then you cut the cookie in the same shape to parallel it, maybe place the cookie on top, a scoop of ice cream on the side. So that way it looks like there's thought, there's presentation. So it's like, yes, these are some childhood classics, but presented in maybe a more elevated way. So like, I think people just want to feel like there's thought being put into their food. There's some like artistry, but just like as a stack of cake, then cookie, then ice cream, it's just like ridiculous.
Well, and especially after the almost killing someone with the fish thing. I mean, that was a huge mistake. Everybody knew it. So then to follow it up with an anniversary dinner and just putting out the most low effort thing. And these did not, everyone knows a fresh cookie, by the way. They know a homemade cookie. This was not one. We know it's not. And he, I think, totally lies later because Aisha brings it back and she's like, listen, Jono, she said this is very disappointing. He's like, really? She's like, yeah, I mean, listen, a cookie on a cake for a high-end dessert. He's like, but with homemade caramel and homemade ice cream and homemade crumble.
It's like, yeah.
Notice he didn't say homemade cookie and homemade cake.
You're right. I mean, look, homemade ice cream is very special. It's also relatively easy if you're a chef. Homemade caramel. I mean, and the thing is that if that was homemade caramel, why do you make it look so cheap by like doing that like zigzag thing? Like it's something you got on an airplane. I don't know. Like this guy's taste level is just so not five star super yacht.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I just didn't have time to do anything else with this big meal. You served fried calamari and lobster.
Yeah. It was a two course meal. About? This was not like a nine course tasting.
Simple. Like those are very simple things that you served, sir. I just,
has he even been challenged?
And like, I really like him. I just, it's so rough. Cause normally on this show, they make it so much easier. They're like villain, terrible chef. You know, you just go terrible chef. And then you hate them cause they're also an asshole. It's very rare that they mix it where it's like, you actually like them, but want them to get fired too. It's just very confused. It's a mind fuck, Below Deck. Stop messing with my head.
Has he even had to do a multi-course tasting this season? Because I don't think he's even had to. So the fact that he's did like a dinner that was appetizer, entree, and he's like, it was just so much. It's like, what? Because you had to avoid someone's allergies? It's really not that hard to do. Just come up with something else. But
yeah. So he's all depressed about it, but I feel nothing because you deserve it. They shouldn't even fire you. They should literally make you walk the plank at this point.
I know. I mean? He's been so mediocre for so long. He seemed like he was getting a little bit better, but he's really kind of, he seems like somebody you go to their house for a dinner party. It's good. He throws like a good dinner party, you know?
But he wasn't getting better. He just wasn't being complained about. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think on this boat, they just wait until someone complains.
They're bigger fish to fry.
If they didn't complain, people are happy. You know, if Bree didn't burn down the boat, she's doing a great job this week. And that's kind of how they're starting to judge everything. So now it's the last day of charter. And
Ian,
Jono's going all out by making beignets.
Right. Which honestly, a beignet would have been more elevated than what he did last night. So by the way, Ian is in bed and he texts his crew and he's like, well, he texts something like, you know, I have to get compulsory rest as a bosun, so I'm going to wake up at 10, but you guys wake up at 8.
What a fucking weirdo.
What a fucking, you know, lazy ass, right? So
Jono's like, well, I hope they like my too late beignets.
Yeah.
And then Joe is talking to Gail and he's still doing his same, like, don't do it like this. You just need to do it like this in one single motion. You're hosing it down wrong, girl. You're hosing it down wrong. And she's like, whatever gets the job done, dude. She's literally hosing down the railings of a stairway. He's like, no, you're doing it wrong. There's a wrong way to hose down a stairway 8 weeks in. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Or it's not 8 weeks in their time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so Joe's telling us, with Ian hiding away, I don't know what his game is. But funny enough, this is an opportunity for me to grow and to prove I've got what it takes to be a leader. That's my approach. Like, what, by basically hounding like the one female on your staff to like spray hose the hose direction in a different way? Yeah.
Yeah, hose direction. I love it. You're really growing. Hey, why don't you go lead Nathan? That would be fun. That would be fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's time for the guests to leave. And, you know, luckily for them, Pamela is the primary, not the woman whose anniversary it was. So Pamela's like, I had a great job, you know, and da 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 da. And so it's still like the guests still love them, despite it being a, you know, bad weather and the food issues. The guests had like a really fun time. They seem like actually very nice people. So, you know, they can say their goodbyes. They leave and then everyone starts to clean.
Well, Sandy checks in with Aisha and she's like, how was dinner last night? And Aisha's like, well, it was fine, but for dessert, he did chocolate chip cookies. So, like, there was, you know, on the plate, it was just a giant chocolate chip cookie and a giant scoop of ice cream, which I feel like she was pretty easy on Jono. I mean, she is kind of tattletaling in a way, but she didn't mention that the chocolate chip cookie was on top of a piece of cake. I mean, that makes it 10 times worse, you know?
It somehow does. I don't know why. It's just like it's just not right. It's just a bad plating.
It's just like two fuck yous at one time. It's three fuck yous because the ice cream as well. It's like saying fuck you three times instead of one.
So she said, Jeannie was pissed. Well, I don't blame her, okay? It's like going on a blind date and oop, there's Norma. I'd be pissed too. Well, it's just so embarrassing.
I've never heard so many people wish they were blind on that date.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Talk about someone who does kind of look like a cookie on a piece of cake. Norma, am I right?
Well, it's just so embarrassing.
Wait, are we talking about the dessert or are we talking about Norma? I've sort of got lost here.
God, that woman can really get me into a reverie of homeliness.
I really appreciate you being honest. It's an insult.
I agree.
No, Norma, going on a blind date, that's just insulting to people.
So, Ian is like, oh, everybody working? Okay, I'm going to go eat. The fuck is this guy doing? He's just woken up. And Gail's like, did he just, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to concentrate on the hose before I get yelled at by another inept man, you know? So Sandy calls Jonathan up to, or Jono up to the bridge, and Bree's like,
I think he's in trouble. Does anyone seen my pants?
So Sandy's like, I have to let Jono go. The fact that a cookie was served for a 25th anniversary dessert, on top of everything, Jonathan also served raw fish to the person who could die from raw fish. I should just fire him for that. So then Norma texts us, hey, babe, it's Norma again. Sorry I haven't been able to find you a chef because I've just been going on 3 hot dates in a row. One guy was a model, one guy was a CEO, and one guy was a race car driver. What have you been up to, loser?
Wow. You know what? I thought my day was rough. But I only have to reject one person. Gosh, your dates have had... You've been rejected by 3. That's really crazy. Bloop.
Rejection? You're the one who's been rejected by land. Enjoy living out on the sea, stupid.
Even Poseidon has refused to swallow you, you dumb bitch. Bloop.
I don't fuck with Poseidon because I'm hanging with Zeus. Bloop.
Anyway, point is, I don't have any replacement for you. Have fun wallowing in mediocrity. It's not like you're not used to it. Bloop.
And you have fun wallowing in just meaty things. Okay, bye.
Have fun, bitch. Wallowing in lonelytocracy, dumb hooker.
Have fun, maybe probably sinking your yacht. Bye. Bloop.
So Jono comes up and now she can't fire him. She was like really ready to go on her. You know what? I'm going to tell you what you're going to get off this boat. And now with that, a few hugs, get over here. Get over here. I'm going to hit you so goddamn hard. By the way, did you notice it early? Or maybe it's right now. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. But Sandy's like, oh, Jono. Hi, Jono. So I called you up here just to say, serving guests raw fish, that's a fireable offense. I'm not going to do that. It's like, oh, God, this has got to be killing her. At one point in the show, they showed,
Sandy, it's a super yacht.
Yes, yes, it was right here.
It's a super yacht, Sandy. A super yacht.
It's a mega yacht.
Yeah, they showed it right here.
Sandy, a mega yacht.
Because Sandy basically throws to her own flashback. She goes, we can't have no chef. I mean, remember Matthew, everyone? And we saw that dickwad Matthew walking off the boat. I'm really cursing up a lot today. But he walks off the boat, and the whole crew was cooking food, and we see that girl. And she's like,
it's a mega yacht.
It's a mega yacht, Sandy.
Which is one of Ben's most successful bangers that he ever made music-wise, called It's a Mega Yacht,
yeah,
Sandy.
I have it somewhere.
We should.
It's a mega yacht.
You should dig it up to play it at the end of this episode.
I'll dig it up. Yeah.
You gotta play that every once a year. So, you know, she's like, I have no choice but to keep him. And he's like, I feel so devastated. I was prepared to be fired, you know, but after all this hard work, I'm so disappointed, but I'm really glad I have another chance to see if I can work Entenmann's into something else.
Okay, well, okay, so listen, I can't fire you because you're very huggable and there's no other chef that wants to come onto this leaking boat, but... Instead, you know what? We got 2 charters left. This is the time that we dig deep and we bring it. Cupcakes for everyone. No, we're gonna try to strive a little bit farther than that. Twizzlers. No. Let's like deep fried Oreos. No, let's just think elevated. 2 charters.
Snickers on top of cookies. Okay, just go. Just go now. You can think about it later. Okay. So they have the tip meeting. The guests tipped them really well. 25 grand, which is huge. I think that's the biggest of the season, right?
It's one of the biggest. It's one of them. I think we've had 25 grand before, but it is one of the big ones.
So we also get an announcement that we're getting another stewardess. And Joe's like, when's she coming out? You know, of course, he's excited because he has run through all of his options here and he gets to torture somebody new.
And he, by the way, he says, oh, when's she coming out? Like, oh, but like in front of everyone, including the two girls he has been flirting with, making out with all season, which is totally obnoxious. And Ellie, Ellie hears that. She's totally, it's embarrassing. And she's frustrated. And I think that the way she channels her humiliation for ever liking this guy is that she now turns it on Aisha, because now she's like, this is completely unnecessary. Where is this coming from? Do we need a stew? It's like, Ellie, you've left a trail of dishes going from the kitchen to your bedroom. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Did I do that?
But what if I got lost? How would the people find me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much. Need picker?
So Ellie's like, it better be laundry stew. And Bree's like,
I just know I don't want drama. I'm just working on maturing, man. That is all I want to do. Captain Sandy, are you wearing a bun?
Oh, it's my nun's habit. I've turned it into a bun on top of my head. Do I look professional?
So now here comes one of the sneaky parts of the episodes that actually I think may have made me the angriest of all. I don't know if there can be anything that can make me angrier than the cookie on top of the cake. But now with the forward cabin, they fix the carpeting and everything. It's ready to go. So Aisha calls Ian to meet her. And Aisha's like, it sounded like you were, it sounded like it was like a joke, like a rim shot. Like, dun dun dun. It's like, no, it really happened. Aisha goes, Ian, with this new suit, I don't think that it's fair that she gets her own cabin. So you're the person, so I thought it'd make sense if you had your own cabin. I would give it to Jono, but we know he's going to be fired any moment. So this guy fails so far upward. He does nothing. He sleeps all day. He doesn't know what he's doing. How many times has he messed up? And now he gets to have his own solo cabin. That's something that Aisha should have taken, but she's a chill person. So
I think she
gets
is taking one, isn't she?
No, Gail's moving back in with Aisha. Bree is going to move in with Jono. Aisha basically just wants Bree out of her cabin, I think. she doesn't want to be so mean as to put Gail with Bree.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she should have taken, maybe she's just trying to get him away from the employees because she sees it going sour. I don't really know what's going on over there. But yeah, it always sucks to see somebody like that who's literally slept late, taken lunch right when he woke up, you know, is being clearly lazy and fucking up all over the place, be rewarded. But yeah. Hey, welcome to life.
Yeah, so it basically ends with the stew approaching and Aisha acknowledging that she can hear that Ellie is upset and she knows that this is probably going to be a moment where her relationship with Ellie is going to go south, but she doesn't care because she needs the help.
Yeah, she's like, I don't fucking care at this point. We need somebody who knows what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Time will tell, but that was sure fun.
It was another fun episode. Thanks everyone for being here. And we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye. If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby, This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.